May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. Land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him.
Good morning. We're going to tie into that wonderful psalm with some words to help us get into God's presence, and it's "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise you in the morning, praise you in the evening, praise you when I'm young and when I'm old. Praise you when I'm laughing, praise you when I'm grieving, praise you every season of the soul. If they could see how much you're worth, your power, your might, your endless love, then surely we would never cease to praise. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise you in the heavens, join with the angels, praise you forever and a day. Praise you on the earth now, join with creation, calling all the nations to your praise. If they could see how much you're worth, your power, your might, your endless love, then surely we will never cease to praise. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I'm going to hand over to Mark now.
Hey, good morning everybody. It's great to see you, and thanks again for joining us. It's really, really great, always great to meet together. And I'm just thinking beforehand how good it is that we've got this technology. It keeps us connected, doesn't it? It's brilliant. So we might be all over the place, and if you're a visitor amongst us this morning, really, really great to see you. And thanks for joining us if you're first time. For those of you who are on the phone, again, welcome. It's good to see you. We have a very special technician on the phone this morning, but I won't say any more because it might throw her off. Anyway, it's brilliant to have you. So let's commit our time to the Lord, having seen those wonderful scenes and had that praise of that psalm of praise to kick us off. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity of gathering together. Lord, we might be scattered in different homes, but we are one and together and united because of you. So, Lord, we commit this whole time to you. We pray that, Lord, you tie it all together. And we just want to ask, oh God, that you would reveal more of who you are to us. May we have open hearts. May we be sensitive to the work of your Spirit. Lord, come amongst us and take us deeper into you. Give us a broader understanding of who you are. So that, Lord, at the end of this time, we will know you better. So we give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, good. Okay, just a few things to announce, if good. For those of you who are a regular part of Emmanuel, you will know that we had our gift day on Friday. So I want to say a huge, huge thank you to everyone who's made any contribution to the gift day. But it's not, you've still got an opportunity. If you weren't able to get to us or not able to sort things out, there's still an opportunity. And so if you want to get in touch with the treasurer, if you haven't got his email address, then just leave it in the comments and we'll make sure we connect with you on that. But you can still make a gift and you can still make a pledge if you want to be a part of that. On Wednesday, we have Worship on Wednesday, our WOW at 7 o'clock from Greystones. Well, we hope it's going to be from Greystones. It's had some builders around, so it might have a brick or two in the place, but don't worry about that. It will work. And I've already seen John Dunster. It's good to have you with us, John. Just to say that if you want a coffee time, join us with coffee today, then it will be really good. And if you let John know, he'll send you the Zoom connection for that. But stay connected, everyone. It's really good that we can be together on this sort of level. Okay, I'm going to hand back to Rich, and he's going to lead us in the kids bit. Woohoo!
Thank you, Mark. So for those of you visiting, I'm Rich, I'm the youth minister here, and each week we're trying to do a little bit of a gospel presentation or something that ties in with what Mark will be bringing to the older folks in a bit. And I'm just going to add an extra camera in here and hopefully you can see my lovely red table. And what I've got here is some bits of paper and some pens because I want to show you something incredible about who Jesus is and what he does for us. You see, we believe as Christians, don't we? Oh, my head's disappearing. We believe as Christians that God is good. So I'm going to write God's goodness on this piece of paper. Okay, God's goodness. Okay, and we believe that God is so good. The Bible says in him there's no darkness or anything unkind or anything that's wrong. And God is good. And he made a wonderful world and he made people with a special job of looking after it. See what Greta Thunberg thinks about that. Now, on this piece of paper here, I'm going to write something else, because something else the Bible talks about, which is quite a sad part of the Bible, is that actually God's very good, but sometimes we do things which aren't good. Sometimes that's on purpose. Sometimes that's by accident. Sometimes it's just the way that the world seems to operate. But the Bible calls this sin, and I've written down my sin. Because let me tell you a little secret, boys and girls, is that sometimes even youth ministers make mistakes or do things which are wrong. Sometimes we lose our temper. And so the Bible's got these two things, God's goodness and my sin. And I'm going to put these down here on camera here so that you can see them. And what's happened is my sin has covered God's goodness. Okay? Now that doesn't mean God isn't good anymore. God's always good, all the time. But sometimes God can't use me to do the things he wants me to do. Sometimes I can't be the help in the world that I should be because my sin gets in the way. And sadly as well, my sin gets in the way of my friendship with God. It breaks my friendship with other people, but it gets in the way of my friendship with God. And God says that actually because of my sin, I can't go to be with him in heaven. That's a big problem for me. And it's a big problem for God because he loves us and he wants us to be part of his goodness. And the Bible says that he did something incredible. He came down to earth as Jesus and he got wrapped up in our way of life. He lived with people who did wonderful, beautiful things. And he lived with people who sometimes made mistakes and did horrible, horrible things. And Jesus came and lived in our world and he got wrapped up in this world of sin, but he never did. And what we find is, as Jesus gets wrapped up, and he dies, he takes my place. And something incredible happens here, if you can see it on the screen, is that now God's goodness is covering up my sin. You see the swap places. God's goodness is now covering my sin. And in fact, Jesus says he takes my sin and he buries it and it's gone. And I'm only left now with God's goodness. Now, that was very quick on the camera, wasn't it? So just to make sure that that works, okay? I've been told sometimes I move too quick. I'm going to just write two new bits of paper here, okay? Let me get those there, okay? So God's goodness. There we are, God's goodness. I'm going to write my sin, okay? I'm going to make sure you guys can see this. There's no jiggery-pokery going on here, okay? This isn't a trick, this is just some science, which is very cool. So here's God's goodness. You see that there? God's goodness. And my sin comes. Okay, and it gets in the way, it spoils God's goodness. It stops me having that friendship with God. My sin is on top of God's goodness. And what we do is, Jesus comes. And he gets wrapped up in our world, he gets wrapped up in our lives, he gets wrapped up in the way that everything happens. Jesus never sinned, but instead he offers to take my sin. He takes my sin and he dies for it. He was killed on the cross. And 3 days later, when Jesus came back to life, he'd taken my sin and buried it, and he'd given me God's goodness, which is how it should be. Isn't that wonderful? The Bible tells us, boys and girls and older folk, that God loves us so dearly, so much that Jesus came on a special rescue mission so that anyone, no matter what the sin was, can be forgiven, can be part of God's family, and have that wonderful invitation to spend forever with God, our good, good Father. We're going to sing a song, okay, and it's a song which speaks about how much Jesus loves us, okay, and it's a really lovely one for the little children because the chorus is very easy to pick up, okay. So if you're not a great reader this morning, you'll certainly learn the chorus, okay, and I'll do the chorus first. The chorus is... let's get the key right. Here we go. Yes, Jesus loves... Oh, that's too high. Let's put that in capo too. Sorry. I woke up with a very deep voice this morning, and I want everyone else to be able to sing along. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Again. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, as he loved so long ago, taking children on his knee, saying, let them come to me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me still today, walking with me on my way, wanting as a friend to give light and love to all who live. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Again, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. And that is absolutely true, boys and girls and children of all ages. Whoever you are, wherever you've been, whatever we've done, the good and the bad, Jesus loves us and he came to make a way for us to know the Father. We're going to sing a song about how God has rescued us from the slavery of sin and given us a new life and a place with him and his family.
Unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Oh, 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 oh. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Oh, 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 oh. Child of God, you split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am the child of God. I'm no longer
what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine surrounded by your glory,
What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. When all I will do is forever, forever worship you, I can only imagine, I can only imagine.
Thanks, Rich. Ooh, just clicked the foot pedal. Okay, I'm sure many of you, like me, have been really taken with the whole Beirut situation. And we did talk about it and we prayed a little bit last week. But, you know, it's really good to hear from people who are on the ground in Beirut as to what they've done. And so we've got a video which I'd like to show you now from BMS, World Mission. And they're linking with some partners of Christians, brothers and sisters who are over there. So just watch this and listen, and then we'll make a comment afterwards. Thanks.
Until yesterday, we thought we've been through it all. Since September, forest fires, a financial crisis, bankruptcies, unemployment, refugee crisis, revolution in Lebanon, COVID-19. But again, over all this yesterday, we were surprised with explosion, 2,700 tons of ammonium nitrate. More than 100 are dead, many are lost, thousands and thousands of injured people who don't have place to go to the hospital. However, I feel now we are on a ship caught by a storm. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I trust that the Lord will lead us to land on a safe shore, on an island. Meanwhile, during this difficult trip, we are burdened and we promised Him to take care of the people who are with us on this ship. Our eyes are on Him. Our hands are on the plow. Our people and the team is doing great and creative jobs. Since October, they are doing ministries as they are called to do every day. This videotape is to encourage us. While you see it, thank the Lord for what He wants us to do. Keep us in your prayers and much appreciation for your continued support. God bless you.
We're currently at Beirut Baptist School, which is around 3.5 miles away from the blast. And we're here with the management team assessing the damages. It was already a difficult year for BBS.
We were shocked with what happened yesterday, but today we woke up with a new hope, a hope that we will soar like eagles and we will hold with our faith and with our mission. We thank the Lord for our teachers, our staff and our families.
With the damages around us, still a unique setting. This is a lighthouse and will remain a lighthouse because the keeper of the lighthouse is our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will guide us through this darkest time. We believe this with all our hearts.
This is a very sad day in Beirut. It's a very dark day. This is why it's very important for us to shine the light of Christ again in the middle of this mess. The guest house behind me is empty right now. We were using it to house first responders, and now it's empty. So what we want to do is we want to use every empty room to house people who have lost their homes in the explosion yesterday. We're thankful that our students were able to go back home safely. Now we have more space at ABTS, and this is how we want to shine the light of Christ in the middle of this.
As Mirath, we're working to respond to this catastrophe, working with our local church partners to respond through providing food, providing hygiene supplies, providing water and shelter for families that are just devastated by this disaster, helping them to show God's love to the entire community in being able to reach out to those in need at this time.
كان في عنا ميتينز ناس عم بتصلي ناس كانوا قاعدين عند اجتماع عم تحكي قصة حياتها اللي ساعدوها وقبل بعشر دقايق هيدا المكان اللي شايفه هون خدي نهائيا فترة خمس دقايق قبل ما نسكر انشغلنا بشيء فسمعنا هزة كتير كبيرة وطلع وصار اللي صار ما شفته خسارة كبيرة يمكن احنا زعلانين على الخسارة المادية نشكر ربنا انه ما حدا صار له شيء صلينا الناس عم بتدق لنا وقفوا صامي الناس عم بتدق الزبونات اليوم بالصبح عم بتقول حابين يجوا يساعدوني يساعدونا انه كيف يشيلوا الازاز معنا يرتبوا يعني نشكر الله حمايته لنا
isn't it? Every time I see that lady in that bookshop, it just wells up, the tears well up within me. We just can't imagine what it would have been like in that situation. But what we can do, I know we're many, many miles away, but we can be here and help. And as you saw at the end of that video, and for those of you who are regular members of Emmanuel, we have opened up an appeal fund, a relief fund, via BMS and those partners which you've just seen, some of them are on the video. And if you're able to give, I know, you know, money is tight for a lot of us, but, you know, in lots of ways, they've lost everything. They've lost their homes, they've lost all their furniture, and it's so hard, and there's all the other infrastructure which needs to be rebuilt. Well, BMS are on there, on the ground, in Beirut. So if you're able to give, whatever, every little helps, as it were. So if you could, that would be really good. As long as you mark any donation for Beirut very clearly, if you're physically putting it through the church letterbox, but otherwise you could do it online, of course. But please make sure you put Beirut. That would be really good. I think it'd be really lovely for us, just for a moment, just to spend a short prayer, if we could, before I hand back to Rich. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, those images really bring home the severity of that explosion and the suddenness of it. But thank you that you're a God who protects. And thank you, Lord, that you've protected so many. And that, in fact, that the death toll was not even higher than it was. But Lord, for those who are mourning, those who have lost loved ones, may you be the God of all comfort, we pray, to those families. The people who are going to struggle now because they've lost their homes, they've lost not just loved ones, but they've lost businesses. The whole of the country beyond the explosion with its political turmoil, all those things. Lord God, we pray, Lord God, have mercy upon Beirut. May you intervene in their difficulties and in their struggles. And Lord, for our brothers and sisters, some of whom we've just been watching, strengthen them, equip them, enable them, we pray, to meet the needs of others. And may you, the light of Jesus, be seen in the darkness of that nation and that city at this time. Lord, we lift them and all these situations to you, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Rich, over to you.
We're going to sing a song now that might seem glib after the video that we've just watched, but actually it ties in properly because we believe that God brings light out of dark situations, don't we? We showed it with a little illustration where God takes away our sin and gives us his goodness. And we believe that God does go into dark places and places of even death, and he brings out life. And this song is a celebration of that fact. It's a celebration that God brings dead people back to life. He gives us a new place in his family. So we're going to sing this song. Okay, the lyrics are coming up really small, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to make the lyrics bigger. Sorry about this. And I'll make myself smaller, hopefully, if we can. Oh, I don't know. No, it's stuck like that. Hopefully you can see this. Sorry.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. You called my name and I ran out that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name. Freedom is all I know. The old made new, Jesus, when I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness to your glorious day. Rescue.
My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, but now you call me a citizen of heaven. Now I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open, 'cause when you call my name,
that song, Rich. That is so good. Fantastic. And it's brilliant. And I thought very pertinent, and you're exactly right. I thought that was really, really important. So, okay. Now, if you're anything like me, you'll love having an invitation. It could be from a friend to go out for a meal. It could be to go to a wedding. It could be to a birthday party, an evening at the theatre or the movies, just beginning to open up again now, or just to meet up and go for a walk even. But whatever it is, and whatever you're going to be doing, it's great to receive an invitation, isn't it? I hope you agree. Of course, as you get a bit older though, the more the nature of the invitations change. You know, you're not... perhaps not out as many nights clubbing with your mates like you used to, and perhaps not as many birthday parties. Well, they're the sort of birthdays you want to forget, aren't they? Those are the sort of invitations. But of course, unless you've got grandchildren. But I'm sure there are lots of these opportunities to meet up with others in the local coffee shop or whatever, and have lots of coffee and tea and cakes or whatever it might be with your friends. And of course, you know, depending on what sort of life you've lived, and we see this occasionally, certainly on the news, I'm sure that one or two may even get the wonderful invitation to go to the palace because you've done something very significant in your life. Well, pretty good, eh? It's not happened to me yet, by the way. No, don't answer that. Anyway, but whatever the invitation is, and whoever it's from, it gives you that sense of importance. I do believe it does. It makes me feel good when I get an invitation because it's specifically to you. It's one which has been written. Your name may even be on that invitation. It's not to everyone else. There might be others invited, but you've been specifically selected out. And so you're on the invitation list and the host wants your presence. He wants you to join with them. And it makes me feel really good. And if you've been invited to do something or to see someone, and it's a real special occasion. Well, it just so happens that this morning you are being invited. You've been invited by a very special host. And you're being invited to go with God, and for God to invite you to do something. Yes, even you. You probably think, well, I'm not important enough. Why would the God who we started our service this morning, why would he want to know me? Well, you are important. You're very precious. You're very special. And so God himself has specifically invited you to join him. Because he loves you and he values you. And this particular invitation is intriguing because it's an invitation to go on an adventure. Now, you're probably thinking, I don't want to go on an adventure. I like my comforts. Well, yeah, but I tell you, there's something very special about going on an adventure which has been specially designed for you. And this is what this adventure is, because God understands who you are. Perhaps it's something you've never experienced before. To a different way of being, I would suggest. To living a life on a completely different level. This is an invitation to do so much more and to enjoy so much more. It's actually offering you more than any other invitation you will have ever received. And dare I say it, I'm sorry Liz, but even if you invite somebody to the palace, it's not as good as this invitation. This invitation is loaded and it's supported with many other promises upon your acceptance. Absolutely, the storehouse behind this invitation is massive. Are you intrigued? Well, it's actually found, this invitation, in Isaiah chapter 55. For many of you, you'll know this one. If you're visiting us and you're watching this, then just listen to some of these words, because this is an amazing invitation. I'm going to read a selection of the verses because we don't have time to read the whole chapter this morning. But may I suggest that you do read the whole thing. Sit down, take a cup of coffee even after the service this morning and read the whole thing. But I want us to read verses 1 to 3, verses 6 to 9 and then 12 to 13. Because it says this, where it says God is speaking here, okay? Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come, take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. You will live in joy and peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Where once there were thorns, cypress trees will grow. Where nettles grew, myrtles will sprout up. These events will bring great honour to the Lord's name. They will be an everlasting sign of his power and love. Now, many of us get invitations which receive food in the invitation. And let's face it, we all love a bit of food, don't we? We all love going for a meal. It's a great socialising opportunity. And it's clear, the God who made us understands all that. And so he made that invitation, and it begins with food and drink. Not a bad start, I don't think. Which, in other words, God is saying, come and have a meal on me. And it's a special sort of meal, but isn't that fantastic? The creator of the universe is saying, come and have a meal on me. I tell you, not even in the restrictions we've got at the moment is going to stop that from happening. But this is no ordinary food. No ordinary food being offered here. This is food that's not been brought down at the co-op or at Budgeons. That's for those of you who are looking out. Those are two main shops here in the town of Swanage. But no, this is free. And it won't cost you to partake of this food and drink. And it's a very special type of food and drink too. Because if you drink this heavenly wine or milk or eat this heavenly food, you'll never be thirsty again. And if you eat this divinely prepared food, you'll never go hungry again. Well, not in that human sense of thirst and hunger. Because this food and this drink feeds so much more than just the physical body. It rather feeds the depths of the human soul and spirit. Jesus spoke of the same stuff, actually, offering the woman at the well and to his disciples the bread of life and the water of life. Living water. And it satisfies. This is the sort of food which satisfies, the sort of drink that satisfies the deep human hunger and thirst that ordinary food or drink or even other ordinary earthly things do not satisfy or can never satisfy. So that's the opening invitation. But then the invitation goes on to say, come to me with your ears wide open, listen and you will find life. Now, it's very interesting, but most of us put on our best clothes if we've been invited to something special, especially if it's with Liz down at the palace. But here, at this invitation, this is with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And actually, he's not bothered about how you dress. But he says, I want you to come with open ears. Because you're going to be told things you've never heard before. You're going to hear words that will bring a whole different dimension to life. It will give you a whole different way of living on this planet. Because they are the living words of God. And these words will lead you into that precious relationship. It's a promise. It's a covenant. The word which is used in this scripture. It's the covenant that God makes, the commitment which God makes to give you love and security and purpose and life that you'll not find in any other means and in any other relationship or actually attending any other event. And then, interesting, the host goes to give you some other advice. It says, seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Now, many parties or events you're invited to seem to have a time limit on it. A time when you go. You can't go beforehand. Well, if you do, you're a bit of a party pooper and they're still preparing it for you. But and there's occasionally even an end time you've got to go. Sorry. But this one, in some ways, I suppose, has a bit of a time limit too. While God, or the Lord, as it says, is around or is near. And as though there's a time limit, in one sense, to respond to this invitation. And I suppose that's important, because life is short, isn't it? Life is very short. I don't know how about you, but it passes very quickly. Where is August going? Where has the summer gone? Where, in fact, since lockdown and all this thing, how has time has just rushed past? It seems to have done, doesn't it? So in other words, I believe God is saying, come to the, this is an invitation, you can come, but don't hang about. Get on with it. Respond. RSVP quickly. Because you don't know how things are going to change. So my question to you is, I wonder if we've passed God by in recent times. Are your priorities right, even? Are you trying to figure it all out on your own? Perhaps in your own strength? The invitation is to come close now, while you can. Do you know him, even? Perhaps you've never met him yet. Perhaps you've never even responded to this invitation as yet. Because if you're not yet a Christian, now is the time. This is the moment. And I would encourage you to make a response quickly. There is an urgency in many ways. In fact, we all must, I believe, remain alert, whether we've already accepted the invitation or not. Because we mustn't rest on our laurels. Times are changing. We think we have lots and lots of time to respond to these things, don't we? You know, oh, I'll do it tomorrow sort of attitude. We don't know how long we've got left. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Times are changing. And we're blessed with lots of freedom in this country, in this nation at the moment. We don't know how long that's going to last. And it's so easy to have circumstances change around us. I'm sure those folk in Beirut were just about their normal, everyday lives. And then look what happened. Those 150 or so who've lost their lives. I wonder what, were they prepared? Were they expecting? No, it took them all by surprise. We do not know. Therefore, there's an urgency about our response. So I believe we need to change our priorities. Let's change that mindset to seeking God. In other words, to be on that front foot, responding. And it's a now thing, I believe, we need to be doing. Getting ourselves right with Him. May our desire be to meet with Him. And that's whether we've been a Christian for many years or not. Now is the moment. We need to seize this time. And then it's interesting. I don't know whether you've noticed it in some of the words which I read from this passage. But as and when we do this, the host gives us gifts. It's fascinating, this. Usually you go to a party or you go to an event and you take a gift for the host. Because it's sort of a thank you for what you've been, where you're going. And you want to say thank you to them for inviting you and for what they've provided. But this has turned all round. Because this host gives you a gift for coming. Lots, in fact. In fact, if we looked at it in sort of quantity terms, it'd be quite a party bag. It'd be one of those big sacks which you get when you have building materials in it. It'd be a lot, in fact, it's a lot more than that. Because God pours out His love and His blessings in total abundance upon us if we respond to this invitation. Some of which are mentioned here in Isaiah 55. Things like mercy and goodness and forgiveness. Joy and peace. And that deep-rooted happiness. Fruitfulness and a purpose in life. God longs to give all of this a lot more. He wants all of us to have a second chance to perhaps put things right where they weren't. Will you take it? And then finally, how can all this happen? Well, it's because God is outside of us. He's outside of us. He's the opposite to any human invitation. Because God functions outside of our limitations. Look at these words from verse 8 and 9. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. You know, in the summer, at this summertime, have you ever sort of been outside and looked at the stars? Hey, the guy who's inviting you to this party, to this event, to this new way of life, made all of those. So we cannot and must not limit what God wants to actually put upon this invitation. This host is offering you an invitation that is outside all of the restrictions and the limitations which you and I normally would experience. And He has endless resources and can throw the most amazing of parties for a life that we'll never experience anywhere else. So, it's very brief and there's lots more in that passage. That's why I want to encourage you to reread it. But how will you respond to this God who's got so much to want to offer? He's got so much to want to give. And it's all free. Well, this is the nature of our God. And he wants to ask you that question. Will you seek me? Will you follow me? If you're not yet a believer, well, God in Jesus is waiting to hear from you. He wants a reply to this invitation. And if you're sitting here this morning and you've let your life drift, perhaps even you were a Christian many years ago and now you've let it drift, God says, hey, come on back. My table is still spread for you. Come on. Come on in. Come and join me again. Come and join me for the first time. Come and meet this most incredible host. And for those of us who've already responded to attend, we'll keep in touch. We need to keep in touch with the host. We need to engage with his love and his blessing and his security so that we can enjoy this life. So let's call on him now while he's near. Let's call on him. Let's seek him while we have the time. May I encourage you to respond. Don't dwell. Don't wait. We just don't know. I'm going to hand back to Rich for our final song. Thanks.
I think we've already sung the final song by accident.
Have we?
Oh, yeah, no, I've only got another. I've got five songs here. We're finished.
okay.
I've not got another song. So watch you hand over to the Grace, shall we? Okay. I had the privilege of going and seeing Sandra this week, who has recorded the words of the Grace for us today. I'll make sure I have enough songs next time I'm leading worship. It's been really lovely to be with you today. I'm going to hand over to Sandra. Here we go.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.
So, there we go. Bye-bye.